Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Americans are altruistic. More than 95% of households give to charity. But is there a better way to give? Well, people behind something called effective altruism think there is. As Derek Thompson writes in The Atlantic, it is munificence matched with math. And it's something he began thinking about after losing one parent and almost losing another, and after a long talk with a new roommate. Derek joins us every Monday from the NPR studios in New York. Hi, Derek.
Hi.
So this piece is terrific. It's just posted. We'll link to it. Your roommate's name is William McCaskill. His book is coming out next month on effective altruism. Briefly, what is effective altruism?
Sure. And this was a subletter from last year. Now he's in San Francisco, I believe, and I'm still in New York. But effective altruism, which is a movement that he's a young steward of, essentially tries to maximize the good from one's charitable donations. And so the way that he described it to me that I just immediately glommed onto was injecting science into what is typically a sentimental business of doing good in the world. So an effective altruist would look at, okay, what charities are spending the most money they receive? Which one of them, how many are spending that money on outcomes that studies have shown truly save lives? How many of them are being transparent about the effects they're really having in the field? So it's essentially taking all of these scientific tools that we might typically reserve for academics and injecting it into this world of charitable giving.
Right, and it goes deeper than you might think. For instance, you might say, oh, that one charity spends $90 out of $100. You know, they spend a lot more on the needy person. That's better than this other charity, which spends about $45 out of $100. But then you talked about the effect as well.
Right. So I had this sort of thought experiment of, I think, when typically the way that people think about an effective charity is simply how much do they spend, what percent of my giving do they spend in the field. But what you should really look at is outcomes, not just spending. So, for example, there are lots of really well-meaning charities that are trying to improve schooling in Africa by buying extra chairs, by paying more teachers. But randomized control trials from some people that Will has talked to show that those aren't that effective at raising school attendance for Kenyan children. But there is something that's terrifically effective, and that's deworming, passing out deworming tablets to remove intestinal worms from children, which are just awful and cause all sorts of suffering so that they can't go to school. You pass out these tablets, suddenly the kids feel better, and therefore they attend school because they're not sick.
And yet,
and so just going that extra step makes all the difference.
And yet that's the charity that spends less, 45 out of 100 as opposed to 90 out of 100, because those pills cost more, but they have the bigger effect, effective altruism. Now, your own personal story is quite profound. Your mother passed in her 60s, so sorry, and your dad almost passed. And so you wanted to, you just had a wake-up call, and you wanted to give effectively. And people pointed you to something called GiveWell. How does that work?
GiveWell is what's called a meta-charity. It's a charity that evaluates the effectiveness of other charities. So you go to their website, and it's really just astonishing and overwhelming the amount of thought and care that goes into these analyses. They've looked at charities like GiveDirectly, which rather famously and somewhat counterintuitively just gives no-strings-attached money to lower-income African families and just says, here's the money, we're not going to tell you what to do with it. Just turns out to be an incredibly effective charity.
Well, but you also
the deworming initiative as well
was another one. But you also wanted to make sure you knew the criticism of effective altruism. And one criticism is you can't measure the effect of all charities. It's not tangible.
That's right. And I wanted in the piece to really look close at effective altruism and understand both its benefits and its flaws. Let's say, for example, that we wanted to study the value of a free press. You know, this is one of those areas where in order to do this with a randomized controlled trial, you would essentially have to compare a universe where America has a free press with a universe where America is the exact same in every way but doesn't have a free press, and see if there's any effect on incomes, happiness, and equality. This is is an impossible experiment to do in a lab, but we shouldn't confuse that with the fact that a free press is something bad simply because its outcome is difficult to measure. So I wanted in the piece to be very clear that in this donation, in my charity giving from last week, I very much wanted to give it to the very best charity for averting early deaths, for saving lives. But that should not be confused with the idea that everybody should only give to charities that have randomized controlled trials to show that they're doing good in the world.
That's Derek Thompson, senior editor at The Atlantic. And you know what, Derek? You make this very poignant case for your huge, truly huge contribution to that charity. We're not going to name it because I don't want to cause another ineffective problem, which is crowded funding space. Too many people doing what Derek Thompson did. We'll let them read the article. We'll link to it at our website, hereandnow.org, and then they can make their own decision. But you call it the most illuminating article you've posted all year. It's truly something. Thanks for talking to us about it, Derek.
Thank you very much.